Good morning. I always find myself getting completely distracted listening to the music when it's playing, so I always hate starting before the song's finished. I'd like to open in prayer, if that's okay. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you so much that you are a God who cares about us. You're a God who is passionately committed to us. And today I pray that my words will reveal you. I pray that everything I say will impact on our lives and help us to draw into a closer relationship with you. And I pray that for myself, that the lessons of the verses I'll be speaking on today will resound in my heart and my life. That you will change me, that you will change each one of us by your word. Amen. I'd like to open by reading from Let There Be Light. I'd like to open by reading from Colossians 1, 15 to 20. Once I've read that little bit, I'm going to be adding one verse on from Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. You don't need to look at both if you don't want to, but that's just so you can find the verses. I'll give you a second. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. Those are some of the verses that I love the most, to be honest with you. Because the verses that are all about Jesus, that are all about establishing how great, how amazing, how incredible he is. And yet the verses that have more depth than I'd ever seen before in them. There are lessons I've learned as I've prepared this sermon that I sat there and thought, how did I not ask that question before? It's always the case with the Bible. There are treasures that every time you dig into a verse, you see something new. Like a rich vein of gold, you've never exhausted it. The verses speak of Jesus as the creator, as the one who fashioned all things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, the mastermind, the author. Like a great painter, an artist who knows he is creating something beautiful and good. I recommend looking up the images from the Hubble Space Telescope. Look at those images of nebulas swirling into being, and you get only one thought. God, you're showing off now. You just look at these things that he's made, and then you turn your eye to the created world around us, to the beauty and intricacy of this world he's made. He is amazing with what he's done. William Paley spoke of an analogy. He imagined that you'd gone out into a field, and one day as you were walking, you saw in the middle of that field a watch. And you picked it up and you looked at the watch, and you saw such a thing of intricacy, everything working together. It's what's called the argument from design, because he argued that looking at that watch, it proves there had to be a designer. You'd never say something like that could just come about by pure fluke and chance. He's right. And yet, he's wrong at the same time. You see, that analogy is dangerous if you push it too far. Remember those words I read? Sustaining all things by his powerful word. If you find a watch in a field, yes, you'll presume there's a watchmaker. You will not presume that the watchmaker is in the field with you. Whereas what the Bible says is that God didn't just create the world. He created a world that he now sustains. The laws of physics operate because of his conscious will. Your heart continues to beat at his choice. And every breath that you take, he is part of. He is intricately connected with everything he has made. He didn't just create a watch, wind it up and toss it aside. Instead, he created something that by necessity continues always to be in relation to him. Apart from him, you would not be. We sing songs that say, I live for you alone. And as we sang it, I suddenly realized how true it is. Even an atheist doesn't know it, but he lives for God alone because God's conscious choice is behind every breath that he takes. When Richard Dawkins rails against the Creator, he's arguing against the one who is still consciously choosing his heart to beat. Wow. And then I suddenly thought, these are truths I've known and mentioned before in church. But one question occurred to me. Why? I'm pretty sure that if God had wanted to create a world that wouldn't require so much continuous effort on his behalf, he could have done it. He could have created a world like that watch, where he just went, right there, done. Over. And I sat and thought, why have you designed it like that? The answer's in Genesis. Because when God created all things, he kept looking at what he'd made, and he saw that it was good. To God, a world that was not locked in continuous relationship with him would not have been good. He created this world. He created you and me, desiring relationship with us. So intimate a relationship that we could not truly ever be separated from God. Even when we are not conscious of him, we are still utterly dependent upon his continued will. That's how close a relationship he actually wanted with us. And once he had fashioned that, he saw that it was good. A wind-up watch that he could cast away, that wouldn't have been good enough. Instead, he wants something much more intimate. Of course, the Bible doesn't pretend that everything is as it's supposed to be. The things that create beauty also create sorrow and heartache in this world. The forces of this earth that create the beauties of the mountain chains are the same forces that create earthquakes that cause terrible loss of life. As a geographer, I studied them. And my heart broke at times. It's not a degree that you should take lightly when you focus on natural hazards, put it that way. The Bible is quite honest that things are not any longer how they were meant to be. That a foreign element, a poison, has been introduced into this world called sin. Still, though, when you look at this world, you can see the fingerprints of God in it. And even in this imperfect world, the Apostle Paul could write in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, that God's invisible qualities have been clearly seen. Yes, there are distortions, but look beyond those and you see the beauty of the master artist. Here's the thing. Leonardo da Vinci said this: an average human looks without seeing, listens without hearing, touches without feeling, eats without tasting, moves without physical awareness, inhales without awareness of odor or fragrance, and talks without thinking. He's completely right. If God is so wonderfully invested in all that he has made, then why don't we enjoy the world he's made? And when we enjoy it, why don't we look to the Creator? I'm going to give a couple of challenges, really, out of this. First of all, my challenge is to experience the world as it is, as a gift from God. Think of your favorite meal. I love a chicken tikka masala. It's why I love the curry nights so much. My favorite meat is definitely chicken. I don't know why, but the texture just gets me. And in a nice curry, the balance of the flavors is just right. I love the way those things taste. Fee knows full well, if she wants to give me a treat, have a curry on. I'll be happy. And we've recently gotten to like fajitas as well. I love the spices. Here's the thing. Why do I love those spices? Why do those flavors complement one another? The clue is God. He created the flavors to balance. And the fact my taste buds like it is because he designed me to find pleasure in that taste. Before a meal, some families say grace. I think there's a bit of a distraction in that because it's as though we're just thanking God for providing the food. We should be thanking God that he has created these foods to be a thing of pleasure to us. As we experience the joy and the taste, we can look to God and think, wow, thank you, God, for this food that I am enjoying. Go for a walk in the evening and look out at the sunset. This week, me and Fee were out walking at an evening, and she had much more wisdom than me. As I was walking, I was there vaguely thinking of an article I could write on an internet site. And she looked, and she saw a sunset that was beautiful, and she was quiet as she enjoyed the sight. Unfortunately for me, only after she'd looked for a few minutes did she say, "Have you seen that? I wish you'd said it sooner." Go for a walk, look at the sunset, and think, you paint the skies. The laws of light that make that thing of beauty, God, you are continually ensuring they exist. That sunset is a thing of beauty because you will it to be. Experience the world as it is, as a gift from God. The things that give you pleasure in this world, don't just think, I'll enjoy that, and afterwards I'll spend time with God. Look at the things that give you pleasure and say, God, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You are the creator of these things. Look at them as signposts to God. For they only exist by his conscious will, and you only have the capacity to enjoy them by his conscious desire that you should have pleasure and good things. For every good and perfect gift, James says, comes from our Father of heavenly lights. Everything that is good and perfect, that brings you pleasure and joy, is by his conscious choice. Suddenly, as I prepared this sermon, I realized how little I notice what God is doing, how little I see and recognize the beauty and the intricacy of his will, and how little I thank him for what he's giving. So in this week, whatever you do, eating or drinking, do it to the glory of God. Recognize as you take pleasure that he's involved in that. I need a drink. I need water to quench my thirst so that I can carry on speaking. Water does that. Why? Because he wills it to. And that brings me to my next point. Look beyond the everyday. Look beyond the matter of fact to God's revelation of himself. We serve a God who went to a well. Who went to that well and he was thirsty. And a woman came there and he said, could you get me a drink? And she got him one. And then he said, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me to give you living water. In that 1 second, Jesus looked at an everyday thing, water pulled from a well, and he brought an eternal truth out of it. He turned that well for that woman into something that would forever point to God. Every single day from then on, when she went to get a drink, she would think of the man who told her everything and who led her to an intimate relationship with the Father. He took the everyday and he sanctified it. He made it holy. Communion. Jesus took bread and wine and he turned them into eternal symbols. Things that call us to remember what he accomplished on the cross. He took the everyday and he turned it into a thing of beauty and grace. He revealed himself through it. One thing that I've been doing this week, I got a pebble, just a little pebble, and I put it in my pocket. And as I walked, I put my hand in my pocket and run my finger along that pebble. It was hard. It was solid. Why did I do that? To remind myself that the Bible says that he is a rock, that he is solid and unshakable. And as I walked, I remembered the truth of who he is. These are everyday things, everyday objects that are all around us, and I'm sure you are surrounded by them. You just, like the rest of us, look without seeing. In your everyday life, look at the world around you. Look to your senses, to taste, to touch, to sight, to smell. And then ask God, what will you speak through me? Here's another one that did to me this week. Lavender. We've got some, I think it's lavender, growing outside our house. By sheer coincidence, not by design. We can't grow plants on purpose for love nor money. But we've got lavender outside the house. And as I walked along, I took a smell. And it smelled rich. And yeah, I then had hay fever for the rest of the day. But the point was, for that 1 second, I enjoyed the smell. And I remembered the verses that talk about how when I offer my heart to God, I am an aroma to him. A sweet incense, a sweet smell that he takes pleasure in, just as I did in that momentary scent of lavender. Look to the everyday and then ask God to speak through it. Stop separating God from the world he's created, that he sustains by his conscious will. Find the beauty. Don't be like the people, Da Vinci said, where we look without seeing, listen without hearing, touch without feeling, eat without tasting. Find the joy in life and ask God to speak through them and reveal himself. Yes, this world is imperfect, but he is still there in it, revealing himself, aching to make himself known. Find the things that he is doing in the beautiful world around you and celebrate them. Let them be signposts to God. Whatever you do, eating or drinking, walking or talking, smelling, touching, tasting, do it all to the glory of God. For he is there. You just haven't noticed yet. May God bless this word to our hearts.